The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, in cooperation with the Institute for Priestly Formations, presents Father Jeff Lorig in conversation with our host, Chris McGregor, on the topic of ongoing formation of clergy. Father Lorig is Director of Pastoral Services for the Archdiocese of Omaha, Nebraska. And now, here is our host, the founder of DiscerningHearts.com, Chris McGregor.
Father Lorig, thank you so much for joining me.
You bet. I'm happy to be able to share with you today.
We are here to have a conversation for the Institute of Priestly Formation, essentially to encourage a ongoing priestly formation. And of course, there's the academic, theological formation in the life of a priest, but spiritual formation, that's is an essential component that could be taken for granted, couldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We sort of assume that you learned everything you needed to learn when you were in seminary and you're good to go. But I probably obviously learned more in my priesthood than I ever did in seminary. And I think part of it is spending time with good, holy priests. And I found that to be the most effective ongoing formation for me personally is being around good people who are tapping into the right resources. So first and foremost, it's relationships, it's friendships, it's good, healthy friendships with other priests. And then after that, of course, being involved with the Institute for Priestly Formation, going through the training program for spiritual direction at Mundelein has been, hugely helpful for me. Not only just the books that you get, but it's the quality of spiritual direction that you receive. And again, it also is being around just really good people who inspire me. Those have probably been the two main ones for me for ongoing formation spiritually.
I think that's true for all of us, isn't it? I mean, that it's a challenge when we talk about our friendships that you've formed in the seminary or even the ones that afterwards, after you've been ordained a priest, sometimes those interactions surprise and delight us, and others, wow, sometimes they can really challenge us. It's the knowing the difference between the two that's important, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the good friends will be able to do both, and I really just love being around a guy who lives his priesthood authentically, they can kind of show you how it's lived. They're not just going to talk about it, but they're showing you just in those something that even that happens outside of having a meal together, just being around each other for a day. I remember a priest friend of mine. We were going on vacation together, and we were, it was nighttime, was ready to pack it in for the night. And my priest friend just got on his knees and started doing night prayer. And I thought, well, I've never done that before. And it really just made me think differently about how seriously, night prayer could be and a way to get on my knees and just surrender and submit the day to him. So that was one example.
It's a real pay it forward type of thing as well. Once you've received that, being that type of an example for others, that can be very life-giving for both, can it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm currently in the stage of my life transitioning out of being a pastor, and the new guy that's come in is brand new. He's only been ordained for a couple of years anyway, but he's an older man. But just being a new pastor, it's been great to really not just share the love of that parish with him, but show him how I learned and show him how I struggled, but also was able to really spend a lot of time in the chapel. But, you know, we just had this great conversation the other day of he's, I didn't know how to quite take care of something. And I said, you need like three moms in your life there at the parish that can help you to make good decisions because moms usually know what's going on. And they have a bigger picture than a lot of us. But that conversation wouldn't happen unless there was a trust built up there between us.
You bring out an important dynamic that for a priest who does become a pastor, whether you're in a rural area or if you're in an urban area, parish life is busy no matter where you are, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to be very intentional about it, and it is so easy to get trapped into the busyness. And plus, most of us are introverts, and we don't like to be vulnerable with one another. We are men, mm-hmm. I find some of the most enriching times of my life is when I can be around a group of priests who can be vulnerable with one another, who can share struggles and joys, and just be brothers. And so I have a priest group where we're very intentional about that. We're not just complaining about the parishioners. Not that we ever do that. Mm-hmm. It's really just a sharing of priesthood and walking with each other in that and holding each other up. But it's something we have to put on the calendar for sure.
It sounds to me what you're saying, it's all about relationship. That ultimately the best ongoing formation is healthy, vibrant relationships.
Yeah, and you know what? I didn't plan on talking about that, but that's really what's coming out here. Mm-hmm. As I think about it, of course I have podcasts that I listen to and books that I read and people I follow on Twitter. But that's all a lot more fun. You can do that with other people and especially with other priests, brother priests. Grow in that formation together. One of my favorite things to do recently has been to, I've been going on a ski trip, maybe for the last 7-8 years. And the skiing's fine, whatever, the snow and the skiing, whatever. It's the drive out there I love the most. Mm. And what I've been doing recently is going with another brother priest, and I'll share with him some of the books that I've been reading on audio, and we listen to that together. And it's been so fun because we'll listen to it and we'll each take turns. Like when something hits us, we hit pause, mm-hmm. and then we kind of just share what that means to us and our struggles with it or how awesome that is, that thing that we heard. But that certainly has been an ongoing formation. In fact, we just listened to Rick Warren's A Purpose Driven Church together, mm-hmm. and that was I love that more than the skiing for sure. That formation and that sharing of priesthood and evangelization and discipleship, that process together as pastors.
Well, you brought up, again, a very important change, shall we say, current in the opportunities to be able to access information or to be able to share. And not so much the latest, oftentimes maybe the best of what has always been out there. You know, back in the past, we'd have to go to a library, wouldn't we? We'd have to find mm-hmm. it either the seminary or we'd have to buy a lot of books. But mm-hmm. now on the internet, there are opportunities to be able to access all kinds of information, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. I sort of joke sometimes, I'm like, we have a media center here in our chancery and part of the Family Life Office, and it's great. There's so many programs there, but it's also like there's this new thing called the internet, and it's amazing. It has pretty much everything you could ever want. My dad spends a lot of time watching documentaries on YouTube. He loves Bach, and so now he considers himself an expert in Bach because he's watched every documentary on YouTube about Bach. Mm. So, yes,
that's great.
There's so much stuff out there. Finding the right stuff is important. I also find you spend some time with some younger folks, especially if they're in different church circles. So my church circle is not maybe with Focus Missionaries, but when I do, our circles cross. I love to hear what they're reading and what podcasts they're listening to, who's kind of the new person or the new book that people are reading. I've learned so much from kind of crossing circles with other folks that I'm not used to. But obviously, one of the things I really love to do, I used to be in a rural parish, and I had two of them. And so from one parish to the other on Sunday, on Spirit Catholic Radio, there would be Discerning Hearts, of course. And mm-hmm. I'm not just kissing up to you, but so there'd be Tim Gallagher mm-hmm. Basically sharing the discernment of spirits, Deacon Keating sharing, I think he was on spousal love, mm-hmm. spousal prayer. And oftentimes, also the other one I really love was Father Scott Trainer's I can't remember Foundations in the New Evangelization. Mm-hmm. And I just listen to that stuff over and over again, and it never gets old, because there's always something that I found moving my heart. And so, like I said, it'd be from going from one church to the next. So I'd have the 8 o'clock mass at the tiny church, and then I'd have the 10 a.m. Oftentimes, if I was listening, that whatever I heard would show up in the homily at the next mass. Mm-hmm. So, just things that were articulated in a way that I couldn't put my finger on before. So that's been hugely helpful as well.
I think it was Thomas Aquinas that said that faith that comes through hearing pierces through a veil. And there is something about being able to listen to another and then to mirror back. I mean, you mentioned being able to listen to Father Gallagher or Deacon Keating or even Father Scott Traynor, voices that you know and can trust, or a friend or a fellow priest that kind of mirrors back and listens to you, and it's safe territory. When you talk about cyberspace, especially even the term social media, it's trying to foster relationships, but that can be a very hazardous place sometimes too, can it?
Yeah, because in a relationship, in any sort of community, a sense of community is a sense of belonging, and you can only get a real sense of belonging if you're going to be authentic. Mm-hmm. And the part of Facebook, or usually Facebook, is a little bit more personal than Twitter, but at least in my world, is you're always kind of putting your best foot forward. Mm-hmm. And you don't usually share your worst days with everybody. So in many ways, it doesn't give you a real sense of belonging and being wanted in the midst of your own humanity. It's just like you share all your best times. I always thought, you know, a good alternative to Facebook that'd be a little more authentic would be a site maybe called the Shame Book or something like that. Mm-hmm. Shamebook.com, where everybody puts all their junk on there and like, what really happened today? Yeah, mm-hmm. you celebrated a birthday, but community is always going to be about accepting one another and in each other's humanity. And so you're not always going to get that on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So if you can be, you have a circle of friends in a community, a social media community, where you can be yourself, where you can share ideas, you're not afraid to make mistakes, then by all means, I think that can be very enriching. I found on Twitter to be great to ask questions to people who know a lot more than I do. Father James Mallon, mm-hmm. Author of Divine Renovation, he is extremely accessible on social media, on Twitter. So I'll have a question like, hey, what do you guys do for this? And then the guy who worked in his parish, Ron Huntley, also very easy to ask questions to. And they're constantly putting out great links to good websites and blogs on leadership and parish renewal. Without that, I just don't know how I would get that. I mean, I don't know, how would I ever be able to contact? I'm sure I could tweet Father Mallon right now and he'd get back to me in no time at all. And it's not like we're best friends or anything like that.
Wow.
That's just the, it makes people accessible. And
I think that's in testing that, learning that. I mean, there is some wisdom to even what, I'll just say, the doctors of the church and the spiritual forefathers that we've had that have talked us about, you know, what will foster good relationship, a healthy relationship. It will always be an expression of virtue, of goodness, of honesty, of all those things. And sometimes we were talking about like Facebook or even Twitter, there is a danger in even when issues come up or things come forward, even in the theological circles, it can quickly digress into areas that aren't virtuous. And I'm speaking when we get angry and snarky and all those other types of things there. I'm being more blunt.
Yeah. Well, I never do that.
So. No, of course you wouldn't. That's why we're talking to you. How did you do it?
I was snarky there for a while and realized it wasn't getting me anywhere. And so I quit for a while. But I also lost contact with a lot of people that I wanted to be in contact with. So there's a balance, and we have to, like anything, just be able to discern our way through that. And obviously not it's not a sermon. It's not just some sort of thinking process. It's something you do with another. And of course you do that with the Lord. So it's all done in balance and according to His will.
What would you say to those who are seeking right now or who are involved with others to help them on their ongoing formation, to lead them on the way?
As far as discernment, there's some great websites. As far as people seeking, again, there's obviously any sort of Catholic radio station. Everybody streams nowadays. Mm-hmm. Your website, Discerning Hearts, there's so much material on there. I think you even have something from Father Hazing about discerning vocation. Oh my gosh, these are some of the people who not only get it, but they're able to articulate it in a way that is accessible to many of us. I just think those are the places to start from priests and from seminarians as well.
An important thing to remember, I would think, Father, particularly given your role as now overseeing faith formation for a rather large archdiocese, that I think it was in the life of St. John Paul, for example, he said the first seminary is in the home. So really, in a very real way, the faith formation of each person in that home, the mom, the dad, you know, they come together as married couples, that as they bring life in, as they bring the children into the family, their formation, I mean, all of it, it's ongoing formation. You just can't stop, can you? Because it's a spiritual journey. It's not a spiritual rest stop.
Yeah, you know, in marriage prep, we always say the best marriage prep is at your mom and dad, that sort of remote marriage prep that you go through, just by watching mom and dad live out their own vocation, hopefully in a very holy and healthy way. Unfortunately, we live in a fallen world, and so not everybody gets that opportunity. But yeah, the home is a church where you get to decide what the mass times will be. Mm-hmm. You know, oftentimes you don't have to. We don't have control over things, and there are certain things we'd like to be done in our parish. But I always just say, but you've got your own church. You can kind of take care of all that stuff and decide what's going to be taught at home. So, yeah, absolutely. That we know that John Paul II said he learned more just by seeing his dad on his knees praying the rosary than he did in all of his other formation. Which is saying something, isn't it?
It really is. And it probably, he might also include, if he were a young boy now watching his dad, what he watches on television, what he looks at on the internet, how he, you know, what he hears on the radio. Those types of things, I'm sure, would influence him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Parents need to have some vigilance about that. And you know, as you were thinking, or as you were talking, I was thinking about how much I've learned from Ascension Press and from form.org. I learned more about the Bible from Jeff Cavins than I ever did in these fancy scripture classes in Rome, which I didn't understand a lick of. but apparently I passed the class. But when you have Jeff Cavins who can explain it in such ordinary ways but also profound ways that move the heart. Wow, if a seminarian or a priest feels like they may be lacking in their formation, believe me, I've learned more since I became a priest than I really did in seminary. And that's not to say the seminary was bad. It did what it was supposed to do and did what it could for that time in my life. But when it comes to teaching other people, you need a certain language, and Ascension Press offers that very accessible catechetical way of teaching that oftentimes seminary is a little, it doesn't hit right. It's mm-hmm. going to be a lot more intellectual formation and not a lot of pastoral catechetical way of teaching things. So wow, I learned theology of the body from Christopher West. I got the CDs and I went through the whole thing, took notes as if I was in class, and then the best way to do it was to learn it was to teach it, because I was immediately sharing it in a classroom setting as a priest teaching in school, in a high school.
You know, you've gone right back to the beginning of our conversation because
yeah,
it's right at relationship, because what you attained, what you received, you gave back. And I'm sure those kids and your fellow priests and all those that you encountered, they mirrored back, they asked you questions, and it became a back and forth and back and forth. And it goes right back to what you were saying earlier.
Yeah. In fact, this morning I was at a retreat for a high school. It was a high school staff faculty retreat. And I was sharing prayer and teaching prayer, things I've learned over the years. But also what came out of that was a lot of theology of the body, this desire for union, knowing what intimacy is and desiring intimacy. Giving back, because it's something I've received. And again, I didn't receive it in seminary. A lot of this I've received since then in the ongoing formation as a priest. I wouldn't be the priest today, obviously, if I just relied on my seminary education.
Mm. Well, this has been just a wonderful conversation. I wish we had more time, but Father Lorik, any final thoughts, anything else you'd like to share?
Yeah, I just encourage guys to keep learning. I mean, I usually have 4 or 5 books going, and I'm listening to podcasts, and I kind of eat it up. It's also one of my strengths is to be a learner and an input. I take a lot of stuff in. There's just, if you feel like your homilies are getting a little stale, if you feel like just you're not able to connect with other people in the things you want to articulate, there are so many great resources out there. There's so many good teachers who can kind of, that you get to steal from or borrow.
Or share with.
Share with, however you want to phrase it.
But, right.
Man, don't rely on yourself. There's a big church out here, and there's a lot of people who have the gifts that maybe we don't have, that would be flattered to know that their gifts are being shared throughout the church.
Mm. Well, Father Jeffrey Lorik, we thank you so much for sharing your gifts today.
You are welcome.
Thank you for listening. There are more resources for you on the IPF website. Just click on the Resources button and find IPF publications, videos, talks, and more features to assist you in your priestly life and ministry.